ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। So we'll discuss a very small work of Shankara. It is known by different names. So one name is Yati Panchakam, another name is Kaupina Panchakam. Though there are some very minor word differences between these works. It's also called Kashi Panchakam, I guess. So there's very minor word differences. Kashi Panchakam is different. So very minor differences, so that we can kind of ignore. So this is a very very small work. Five Panchakam means five. So five shlokas. Shankara speaks about a Kaupina Dhari, or a Yati. Yati means Yati. The word Yati has two meanings, two perspectives. From two different perspectives, Yati has two meanings. One is a person who is striving, and the other is a person who has crossed over the spiritual path and is in the state of moksha. So a Kaupina Dhari is a person who is wearing just a loin cloth. So only one portion, that is to cover the private part. So that is only cloth or cloth that covers the entire body, and such a person doesn't have any possession. Possessions are not at all there for such a person. So such a person's state is being praised by Shankara. So all the five shlokas end with Kaupinavantaha Kalu Bhagyavantaha. How blessed or blessed indeed is a person wearing Kaupinam. A person wearing Kaupina means a person wearing only Kaupina. So Vedanta talks about a state, the state of moksha. A state. Why is it a state? Isn't it like something which pervades everything, which is always there? From our perspective, since we are currently in few states, Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti states, therefore moksha also has to be considered a state. It is just a mental perspective. Moksha is always there, but it is considered as a state from our perspective, for our better understanding. So moksha avastha, in the state of moksha, Vedanta says it's a state where a person lets go of all possessions. A person lets go of everything that he has. So everything including, it's not just external. When we talk about possessions, we generally consider external possessions. External possessions mean a house, car, and all those things. But here it's not external, everything. Everything means even the mind, even the ego, internal as well. Everything is renounced. So everything is that is not I. So neti, neti. So everything that is not I or the Atman, the real self, everything other than the self is completely, a person gets rid of them. Gets rid of means attachment is got rid of. So while speaking about possessions, there are two views to it. So one is a person, possessiveness is actually something which is internal. That means internal, nyesa, nitya, sanyasi, yona, dveshtina, shochati. Vedanta says that external possession doesn't really matter. External possessions are fine. So, ataha sarvasya jivasya bandhakrit manasam jagat. So, mental possession, possession in the mind is the cause of problem. So, we may own a house. So, though we may own a house, the mental thought that I own a house, that is what causes trouble, not the possession of the house per se. It is our mental perception. So mental possession is what is what really matters. External doesn't really matter. Internally, if we are able to remain unaffected to possessions, so how can we remain unaffected to possessions? We remain unaffected to possessions, possessions of other people. Our neighbor has a possession, we don't care about that. We only care about our possession, which means it is very well possible to be unaffected, remain a witness to our own possessions as well. Our own possessions means what? Possession of the ego. Possession of the ego, I am not the ego. If I am not the ego is a third person. The third person's possessions are third person's possessions, which means we can remain unaffected, we can remain a witness. So that is the state. Vedanta scholar says it is moksha. Possession. Possession externally is not a problem. Internal possession, inner attachment is what causes trouble. So external possession is okay. Inner possession, how will we be able to get rid of inner possession, inner attachment? Well, there are many ways to it. Ultimately, everything will lead to the truth that external world is anityam, asukam, lokam. It is something which is temporary. Temporary means it is unreal. It is like a dream world. Therefore, it is a cause of sorrow. So, through this dosha drishti, through this vision of fault, that external possessions, the entire world is something which is temporary, which is not at all there, which seems to be there. It is just a passing cloud, as we say, passing cloud. It is something there. Immediately it will vanish. It seems to be there now, it will vanish. So that is what happens. Many times we do experience such a thing. One fine day we will see our friend. The next day the friend is not there, he has passed. So one time, one moment it is there, the next moment it's not there. We are driving in the highway. One moment everything is calm. The next moment, like, there is an accident, one car, two car, three car, accident, lot of accident. One moment everything is fine, the very next moment it is changing. So such a changing world, a world which is changing, is something which is not real. It will seem to be real, that which seems. So seemingness, or that which seems to be real, need not be real. The water seen in desert seems to be very real, it's not real. The dream world that we experience daily, dream world is something which we cannot negate, which we always experience. So the dream world that we experience is not real. It appears very real. Svakale satyavad bhati, svabodhe satyasad bhavet. So when we experience it, it is very real. But once we wake up, it's not at all real. It's something, it is known to be an illusion. It is known to be something which doesn't exist at all. So in the same way, this world is also like that. It seems to be real, it's not real. Why is it not real? Because it is changing. That which is changing cannot be real. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sadaha. That which changes cannot be real. The real will never change. So then this changing world requires a changeless substratum. Anything that changes is with respect to something which doesn't change. So the changeless substratum is what Vedanta calls as Brahman. And we know vadanti tat tatva vidaha. Tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. So, the same truth of that is praised or that is termed in Vedanta or Upanishads as Brahman is praised variously as Bhagavan, Ishvara, and Krishna uses Aham, Vishnu, Shiva, Sabrahma, Sashiva, Sahari, Sendra, Sokshara, Paramaswarat. So he is Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, whatever name, Kartikeya, Ganapati, any name, Krishna, Radha, whatever name, it doesn't matter. What is that? What is its nature? What is this truth's nature? This changeless truth, it is changeless, which means it is Sat. Sat means it is eternal. It is always existing without any change. So Sat means it has to be a light. It has to illumine itself. If it doesn't illumine itself, it cannot exist itself. So it is illumination in nature, which means it is consciousness in nature, chit. And wherever sat and chit are purnam, complete, then it is full, perfect, purnam in all aspects. So Purnam in all aspects means it is Anandam Yovai Bhuma Tatsukam. That which is Purnam, that which is perfect, that which is complete, that which is infinite is also Anandam, is also bliss in nature. So that means this truth is Satchidanandam in nature, Satchitan Anandam. And this is what is called as Brahman. So this Brahman is real, Brahma Satyam. This Jagat, then what is this Jagat? This Jagat is changing. So changing Jagat, some perspectives we can say it is Mithya or it is unreal. And in another perspective we can say it is just a name and form. So name and form Asti, Bhati, Priyam, Rupam, Namam, Chetyam, Shapanchakam, Adhyatrayam, Brahma, Rupo, Jagat, Rupam, Tadodvayam. So Asti, Bhati, Priyam, Satchit, Anandam is Brahman. Nama Rupam is Jagat. So anything that we see has Satchidanandam because it is something which seems to exist. Seems to exist, even a seeming existence has to be in a real entity. When we dream, the dream world is something which is seemingly existing, which means unreal. That which seemingly exists, that which is unreal, requires a real substratum. The real substratum there is the dreamer. When we see water in desert, the water is seen in the real desert. So anything that we see has the reality of Brahman. But what differentiates it from Brahman is Nama Rupam, name and form. Name and form are many. So Satchidanandam, Brahman is one. Name and form is many, which means Jagat is many, which means Jagat considers Nanatvam. Name and form is many. A name, like anybody can give a name. Gone are the times when there was only one language, one universal language. Now there are many languages. Each country has its own language. In each of those languages, there are letters. So with each of those letters, if you do a permutation and combination, the names are infinite. It is not like infinite Brahman, because name doesn't have any reality in it, but there are many names, a lot of names possible. The same way with Rupam or form. So form is like based on space. So space we can shift, twist, put a little bit more height, put a little bit more width, lessen height, lessen width, many ways form. So name and forms are many, Nanatvam. The very fact that they are many or infinite itself means they are unreal. So then if they are infinite, Jagat is infinite and Brahman is also infinite, what differentiates both? Brahman is infinite but changeless, Jagat is infinite but changing. So changing an infinite means it is an illusion. The dream world constantly changes. Now it is infinite. Infinite means it has infinite potential. We can go on dreaming if we sleep. Like we'll dream and dream and dream and dream and dream. The dream can go on and on for hours. And each time, like each day we get a dream, it's a different dream. Sometimes it's the same, but still there are many differences there. So that means dream world is also infinite. But dream world changes. Changes means changing, and infinite means it is not real. Which means that it is an illusion. It is something which is not eternal. So that is the difference between the infinite changing world and infinite changeless Brahman. So Vedanta gives the examples of gold ornaments, mud, ornaments made of mud, ornaments made of iron, and all to illustrate this Nama Rupam. So Nama Rupam, name and form is never real. So we have gold. So we go to let's say we have one gold chain or gold necklace which is very old. So we take it to the goldsmith and ask him can you make a new ornament? And the goldsmith makes a new ornament out of the gold. So we had one name and form, another name and form gets created. So each and every time we go, like when the fashions change quite quickly these days. So when Christmas comes, there is one fashion. When New Year comes, another fashion. When other festivals come, it is another fashion. So fashions change quite a lot. So therefore, each and every 1 month or 2 months, we go to the goldsmith and ask him to get the new fashion. new name and form. So the goldsmith knows that all of these are just illusions. He knows that, like, whenever he sees them as gold. So the same with a potter, a person making pots. He sees, like, pot or any other form, a different variety of pot, bigger pot, smaller pot, and all those, he sees them as name and form of mud. He sees them as only mud, because everything is mud. So that perspective is called Kanaka Eka Mahabuddhi. He sees everything as Kanakam. A goldsmith sees everything as Kanakam or gold, whereas a potter sees mrit, everything as mud. So this vision of oneness with respect to gold and mud makes them unaffected to the changing name and form. So the name and form, though, changes. So therefore, like, when the goldsmith is making a gold ornament, and the gold ornament, like, somewhere it falls down or it is not proper, he'll not become sad. He'll not cry. What he'll do, he'll just change the name and form. He knows name and form is not real. On the other hand, like, if it is us, we will cry. Why? Because we differentiate between one form and the other form. We don't know the we don't remember the truth that those are only gold, names and forms are just illusion. Since we don't remember that, therefore we get affected by it, whereas the goldsmith doesn't get affected by it. Gata kudya adhikam sarvam mrittika matramevahi tadvat brahma jagat sarvam iti vedanta dindima. So gatam kudyam, gatam pot, kudyam wall, pot, wall, etc. are objects made of mud. So they are mud alone, mrittika matrameva. They are mrittika, mud alone, matram, mud alone. He, definitely they are mud alone. Tadvat, similarly, this entire world is Brahman. So speaks Vedanta. So this knowledge, if we have this knowledge that this entire world is just nama rupam and Brahman alone is real, then we will also realize that when we try to seek that Brahman. So once we know Brahma Satyam Jagan Vitya, since Jagat is Dukkam, so therefore we will seek Anityam Asukam Imam Prapya Bhajasva Maam. We will try to seek Maam or Ishvara or Brahman. So when we try to seek Ishvara, we will find that Ishvara or Brahman is something which is present everywhere, and Brahman is our very nature. So that which pulsates inside us as I, currently that I is identified with the body, mind, body, mind, intellect. So and objects of the world, therefore it is the ego. It gets into nanatvam. So remove that nanatvam through contemplation that everything is just one. Then that I ego vanishes. So when that I ego vanishes, then the real I shines, that pulsating I, that witness I, and that conscious I, and that is Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. That is Brahman. That is our very nature of Brahman, and that is that is our nature of Brahman. So when a person abides in that Brahman, remembering that Brahman alone is real, this nanatvam is just temporary, it just something seems to be there, then a person will be able to rejoice in bliss, and that is the state of moksha, where a person rejoices in bliss. Externally, yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinaha, esya brahmanidamate chittam, nandati, nandati, nandatyeva. So irrespective of whether doing yogam, bhogam, sangam, asangam, it doesn't matter what externally we are doing. Internally, if our mind abides in the truth of Brahman, that Brahman alone is real, this world is just an illusion, if we are able to abide in that, then we will be able to rejoice in bliss at all times. But as simple as this might seem to be, so it might seem to be very simple, so simple, it is very simple. It might seem to be so simple, so that which is, we should remember the age old saying, that which seems to be very simple is not very simple. That which seems very simple is often very tough. Driving a car at 10 mile per hour or 10 kilometer per hour is very simple. Driving car at like 100 miles is tough. Car at 10 miles is very simple, you may think. Is it very simple? You should try driving, then you will find that it is very tough. Whatever seems to be very simple isn't very simple. So, though we say external possessions are not the cause of problem, only internal possessions, inner possessions, but if external possessions are also not there, then where is attachment? Inner possessions automatically vanishes. Of course, this means that again there can be a disconnect between the inner mind and the external world. So we may not possess anything. So a beggar doesn't possess anything, but still he is attached to all possessions. He wants all of them. That's also there. So we cannot just go by direct definitions and all. But a person who doesn't have external possession along with inner attachment also not being there, such a person is blessed indeed. Because if we have inner detachment while possessing objects, until we realize there are often chances that we will get distracted, we may fall down, we may get attached or affected by external objects. It can happen any time. So the spiritual path has a stair of 100 steps. So we are at the 90th step. So just because we are at the 90th step doesn't mean we are any better than a person at the 10th step. Yes, we are closer to the truth, but even at the 90th step it is possible to fall down. Even at the 10th step also it is possible to fall down. Even 99th step also it is possible to fall down. And if a person falls down, kandukam iva patati. So a person who falls down, it's like a ball falling down the stairs, which means with each step, when the ball approaches the lower step, it will gain more velocity. It will take us to the ground or the lowest level, whether we are at the 99th step or the 10th step. So that means there is possibility of falling, which may happen, which means we have to always remain alert. So Amma, that's why it says Jagrat. We should always be alert. So we should always be alert, because like even as a bird which is sitting on a branch of a tree, so it may sleep, it may eat, it may even have its children there, but all the while it remains alert, because it knows any time a strong wind comes, the branch will not protect me, and therefore it remains very alert. When a branch comes, even though it may be asleep, when the branch comes, it is ready to fly away. So that should be the state. You should know that all these external objects, possession, people, all those are temporary. People who are there with us, like we won't be able to carry them. They are there. Yavat pavanu nivasati gehe, tavat prachati kushalam gehe, gatavati vayo deha pahe, bharya bibhyati tasmin kahe. So as long as we have a good health, we have good money, people will come and ask, how are you doing? Once we don't have any money, once we don't have health, nobody will care. And once this body, like we give up this body, then even the wife fears such a body. So the wife loves only something which is peripheral. So all the husband is loved for the sake of the husband, not for this sorry the husband is loved for the sake of oneself, not for the sake of husband. So we love everything only for our own benefit, not for others. So we have to remember that this entire world, everything that is part of this world, it doesn't matter whether it is Amma's form, anything that is part of this world is temporary. It will not protect us eternally. This is something that we ought to become very clear in our mind, because there will be times when we will get we will be let down by objects of the world if we are attached to them, if we think they can protect them. Nothing can protect us. The only thing that can protect us is Brahman or Brahma Chintanam or Jnanam. keeping Brahman in our mind, that is the only thing, one and only thing that can protect us. So anyway, if we don't even have external attachment, the fall down is also not possible. So Shankara says, blessed is a person who doesn't possess anything externally as well, because kaupinavantaha kalu bhagyavantaha, because for him he ever remains blissful in whatever he has. He doesn't care about what he has to eat. He doesn't care about like what, where he has to sleep. He sleeps wherever he gets a place. He eats whatever he gets. He does whatever he wants to do. But then like you see like a beggar, a normal beggar like who is not wearing anything. No. Why? What is the difference between him, a normal beggar, and this person? A normal beggar or a mad person doesn't have knowledge. So they are mad because they don't have proper intellect. They are beggars, they don't possess anything because they don't have money to possess. It's not because they have but they don't want to. So they cannot, they cannot, therefore they don't possess. In the other case, they can but they don't want to. Cannot and don't want to, both are entirely different. For a jnani doesn't want to possess because he knows they are just illusions. In the other case, a person is forced to not possess. So even when, so, sorry. Shuka learns from his father about truth, about Brahman. This is as part of Devi Bhagavatam. So don't ask like Bhagavatam doesn't say, normal Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't say. So Shuka is taught the truth by his father Vyasa. Vyasa was a realized person. He wrote the entire Bhagavatam, including all the Vedas and all. But whenever something comes from a person very close, from a friend, like if a friend instructs us or a family member instructs us, we'll not be able to value it. There will not be any value because that relationship will always be there. The person will still remain a friend, though instruction and knowledge. And when that happens, what happens is, knowledge will not be able to believe in the knowledge completely. So Vyasa instructed Shuka completely, and then Vyasa figured out that Shuka had realized. But Shuka asked his father. When his father replied, Shuka was not convinced. So Vyasa realized that, okay, this is what is happening. Since I am his father, so he may not believe me completely. So Vyasa tells to Shuka, oh Shuka, I am not a right person to answer that question for you. There is a person in Videha, so Videha Raja, Videha kingdom of Videha, there is Janaka. Go to Janaka, he will tell you whether you are realized. He will answer all your questions. So Shuka goes there. So when Shuka goes there, Janaka knows Shuka is there. So Shuka is waiting outside at his doorstep. So a person goes, so Janaka says, oh, Shuka has come, like, just put a chair and make him wait for 3 days. Janaka, like it's all, oh Janaka, how? If it was Amma, she would have got up and given space. Janaka is a realized master. He just wanted to test. So sometimes we may think like we'll go to Amma, and then we may think like Amma is very humble. So filled with humility, Amma will give whatever we want. But Amma may just scold us, may just ignore us. So we may think, why is Amma doing this? Isn't Amma supposed to be humble? So we cannot judge a person by the external actions. Our family members might talk very well to us and say, oh, how are you, dear? The person comes to us and says, oh, how are you? Are you good? So all chit-chat, like all kushala prashnam will be there. Oh, you have become very lean, you know. You are very lean. You should eat a lot. You should do this, all this. Oh, after all those, after half an hour of waste talk, then the question comes, do you have some money to lend me? So that is why all the talk, because Amma says, all the relationships in the world is like people keeping a cow in their house. The cow is in order to get milk. If the cow doesn't give any milk, then they will sell it to the butcher. They won't even worry about it. So that's how relationships are. So we can't, like, whoever are close with us, like, they may say, they may talk and act as if they are very much worried about us, but they may not be worried at all. They may not even care at all. It's something that comes, it's a phase. Spirituality is about wearing a mask, remaining a witness to external actions, but people remain a witness to external actions. So they implement Vedanta partially, but they don't remain a witness to their own actions. So they remain a witness to the world's actions by qualifying the world with their likes and dislikes. So with their raga dvesham, they qualify the world and then remain a witness to that qualified world, not the world per se. So if we are attached to the entire world, or we are attached to one, so there is a plate of laddus. If we are attached to one laddu or the entire plate of laddus, it doesn't matter. Attachment is attachment. It will cause sorrow. That's why we end up in sorrow. So people may act. So external actions, we can't judge by external actions whether a person is realized or not. So Amma would do that, like, just to test us. So, you know, we don't know, like, what perspective Amma is doing. So in this case, Janaka wanted to test. So he said, okay, just put a chair and make him wait. So they waited. Yeah, 3 days and 3 nights passed by. So like, even the guards were surprised, because the Tejo Maya Bhalan, kid, Shuka is a young kid. So the young kid whose face is glowing, young kid with a glowing face, a glowing kid, and the kid remains very calm. So 3 days and 3 nights, no problem. The kid, there is no food, anything, like, the kid is just a normal chair. The kid is staying there very calm. And then Janaka says, okay, come in, pull him in. And then inside, another 3 days. So put a chair inside and another 3 days. And still the happy face. And then Janaka says, okay, like, bring him inside and then properly serve him. So properly serving in ancient times means feed food, give good bath and all. And women, along with women pleasures, of course, all those were there in ancient times as well, like today. So all those are there. Even when he is being fed, he is being cared by women and all, still Shuka remains very peaceful, very blissful. So irrespective of whatever happens externally, he remains very blissful. And then Janaka calls him and then apologizes as if, like, nothing happened. So he says, oh, I didn't know you were here, okay, I am very sorry. A spiritual master, a jnani, is a very great actor. Jnanis will act as if, like, they don't know anything. When we go to Amma and say, Amma, there are people, like, who consider themselves as great devotees, so they will go to Amma and say, Amma, today is my birthday, as if Amma doesn't know. Amma will also shake her, oh, is it so? As if the creator of the entire world, Brahman, doesn't know anything. So we are fools to consider that, like, such as Sadhguru, like Amma, doesn't know anything. So that's how it happened. So anyway, Janaka played his role very well. He said, oh, you waited, so tell me, like, why have you come? Then Shuka said, like, this is what I learned from my father, that I am Brahman, everything is only Brahman. But I wanted to confirm that, like, whatever I have learned is right. Have I achieved that state? And then Janaka replied, oh, Shuka, why did you have to come here? You are realized, there is no doubt. Your father was right. Why did you have to come here? You could have got it from your father itself. And then Janaka sends him back. So that means Shuka didn't have any possession, but still blissful. So that is where we can see two people. One possessing everything. Janaka possesses everything, still blissful. Shuka doesn't possess anything, still blissful. That bliss is not because of just possession, but bliss is about because of knowledge. But if possession is not there, then there is no, the path will become very smooth. Again, this is where, like, repeating again and again, even people in ashrams will not find the spiritual path easier than we, or people in the world find, because It doesn't matter where we are. Mental attachment, but external situations will help. So such a person who wears kaupina mandi is a jnani. So he doesn't possess anything external. He's what blissful will be such a state. But he has knowledge of Brahman. So Vedanta Vakyeshu Sada Ramantaha. He is ever rejoicing. Such a Ramantaha means like such a person is Vedanta Vakyeshu. In Vedanta Vakyam, Vedanta Vakyas, it can be Mahavakyas, it can be other Vakyas. Sada, always Ramantaha, always rejoicing in Vedanta, words of Vedanta. So here we don't have to say Vedanta Mahavakyam, all Vedanta any. So if you think only few places knowledge can be praised, truth can be explained, then you can go through the article in vedantatattva.org about the import of Gita. Each and every chapter there, an analysis of each and every chapter has been taken up, few chapters. Each and every chapter of Gita speaks about knowledge only. Each and every story of Bhagavatam speaks about knowledge. Each and every Upanishad, each and every part speaks about Brahman in one or the other way. It is our wrong notion, our limited knowledge, which makes us feel that, okay, it doesn't speak about Brahman throughout, and that other things are being spoken about. Everywhere there is only Brahman. Whenever we talk about creation, what is creation? Creation is just an illusion in the source, in the Karanam. What is Karanam? Brahman. What is the Karanam? The Karanam is eternal, changeless, Advitiyam, Advaitam, Sadeva Sumyedam Agri Asir Ekam Eva Advitiyam. It is non-dual, only it exists. If it only exists, then how can the world be created? The world has to be created, there has to be some change in the creator. There is no change in the creator, then how can the world be created? No, not possible. Then what is this world creation? It is an illusion. Even as Balakrishna says, even a child can understand this. It's so simple. This is not a complicated logic. This is not a hair-splitting logic. You don't have to learn Advaita Siddhi or other works to understand. It's very simple. So, it is very simple. Even when creation is being explained, it is Brahman only. So, all Vakyas, rejoicing in such Vakyas repeat themselves in the mind. So, that is why whenever we approach such a spiritual master, a jnani who has knowledge, they'll be more than happy to explain knowledge, give knowledge. Why? Because they are reveling in that knowledge. A person who is reveling in music, like when we go and ask, if we go and ask Balamurli, can you explain Amrita Varshini? Like he will immediately start singing it because he is reveling in it. A person who is reveling in knowledge will be ready to sing. So, always reveling, always rejoicing. So, whenever for such a jnani, for such a kaupina, kaupina vantaha, a person wearing kaupina, such a jnani, any Vedanta Vakyam, just remembering those will give bliss. So, rejoicing in Vedanta, words of Vedanta. And what about food then? Food, whatever he gets, bhiksha anna matrena cha. Tushti mantaha, remaining content with whatever bhikshas he get, bhikshanam, whatever people offer him, he will eat. Oh, all these are not possible. And these are for kaupinas. I don't wear kaupina. I am not renounced yet, so it is fine. No. What does Shankara say? The very beginning of Vajagovindam. Yella basen is a karmopatam. Be content with whatever you attain. That is the same thing here. Here in this case, he doesn't possess anything, he doesn't work for it. Whatever he gets, whatever comes to him, by Ishvara's grace, he accepts it. No food? Happy. Food? Happy. So, bhiksha anna matrena cha tushti mantaha. So, vishokam antaha. Vishokam antakarane charantaha. So, charantaha. So, there are few... in one place it is Vishoka Vantaha, Karunaika Vantaha, a person who has Karuna, who is like Vishokam without any sorrow. So in the other meaning, like in Kaupina Panchakam, Vishokam Antakarane Charantaha. So antakaranai vishokam charantaha. Charantaha, charantaha. He wanders, wanders here and there. He's an avaduta. He goes here and there. If he doesn't have a place, like if he doesn't possess anything, where can he live? He has to go here and there. He doesn't possess anything. If a person doesn't possess anything, like where can he go? He'll have to roam here and there. So he roams here and there. But while roaming, he's not bothered about like whether I have a place to live, something to eat. He doesn't bother. Why? Antakarane vishokam. Vishokam antakarane in his mind. Vishokam. So like a vigata shokam. Shokam is not at all there. Shokam means sorrow is not at all there. Person who rejoices in Vedanta will remember, I am not this body. Oh, the body, I am feeling hungry. Try to get whatever you want, but it's the body. It will cry. Body means body's nature is, it will cry when it is hungry. The mind's nature is when the body feels hunger, like the mind will also add to it and mind will cry a lot. So let it cry. Leave it to cry. If some food is God, well and good. If no food is God, still remain content. So antakarne vishokam. If antakarnam, like a person doesn't have any sorrow, then like what to achieve, what to not to achieve. Kim upadeyam astiha yatnat samsadayami kim sthirasya shuddhasya chitaha kame asti kalpana kim upadeya astiha. Like what do I have to achieve here? Yatna samsadayami kim. So walk through putting effort. By putting effort, what do I have to gain? I don't have anything to gain by putting effort or without putting effort. I don't have anything to achieve. I have no desires at all. Apta kamasya kaspraha. So no desires at all. So if I don't have, then I am tirasya shuddhasya chitaha. I am pure consciousness. Kame asti kalpana. Why should I enter into kalpanas? Kalpanas means thoughts. Thoughts means duality. I am pure consciousness, pure blissful, content consciousness. Content. Very much content with whatever is there, whatever is available. Samashatrau cha mitreja tathamana apamaneyohu shitoshna sukadukkeshu samasanga vivarjitaha tulyaninda sudharmauni santushto yena kena chit aniketah sthiramatihi bhaktimanme priyunadaha. Samam sukam dukkam samam shitoshnam samam happiness sorrow samabhavana samatvam, cold heat samatvam, because there is only one Brahman, there is sorrow, where is duality, there is no dual notion. And such a person, santushto yena kena chit, whatever is achieved, he will be content. So if some food is God, very good. So today, like it is a, so today bhiksha, I get very tasty food for bhiksha. Oh, very good, I'll be very happy. Tomorrow I get a normal food, still happy. It doesn't matter. External situations doesn't matter. Because internally there is no shoka. Ko moha kaha shokaha ekattvam anupashyatah. A person rejoicing in like words of Vedanta, a person who remembers that everything is one Brahman, sees oneness everywhere, such a person, like how can there be any sorrow? How can there be any delusion? Sorrow, delusion and all are because of duality. Duality or dual notions cause sorrow. Delusion, delusion means thinking that I am not the self. That is because we see duality. When we see duality in the world, we think like they are there. So that means, so since duality is there, so when duality is there, like we'll get suffering, we'll suffer. When duality is not there, there is no suffering. If there is no duality, there is no suffering, there is no sorrow, there is no moham, there is no delusion. Such a person never rejoices. Kama krodha viyuktanam yatinam yata cherasam avito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. There is no kama krodham. A person who doesn't have kama krodham, such a person knows the self. A person who knows the self, a person who knows Brahman, Advitiya Brahman, such a person around such a person, bliss will be dancing. Abhitaha Brahma Nirvanam Vartate. Surrounding such a person, Brahma Nirvanam, Anandam, Brahma Anandam will be there. And when we come in presence with such a spiritual master, such a jnani, we'll be able to feel that happiness coming out of such a jnani. And such a gaupina vantaha, he doesn't have anything. He doesn't possess anything. He just spends time like that. As a what? How blissful will such a state be? So once Tapovan Maharaj, while his trip in the Himalayas, he goes to a cave and there he finds a very old rishi, a muni we can say. So the person, sorry, one second. So the person interacts in, Tapovan Maharaj says, the person interacts, then person interacts in very fluent Sanskrit. So today Sanskrit is not, people don't know that much Sanskrit. So, but Tapovan Maharaj says, like he interacts, the person interacted in very fluent Sanskrit. And then Tapovan Maharaj asked, like, why are you, what is your purpose of life? And he says, I don't have any goal. I'm just spending time in contemplation, waiting for to get rid of the body. I'm very happy now. Ever I am happy, I don't have any desires. I'm just spending time. So Tapovan Maharaj himself lived like that, but he was surprised at to find such a person, and he was very happy seeing the person. So such people, like when we see such people itself, we'll get immense bliss out of such people who are living life just like that, just as a time pass, as just a dream. Even as a dream has to be just we sit through a movie. We sit through a drama, we enact our role in a drama. Similarly, it happens. We just like let it pass by, remaining very blissful. So that is the state of a kaupina vantaha, a person who wears kaupinam, who is ever immersed in contemplation of Brahman, who is content with whatever happens. So that is like very bhagyavantaha, very blessed, very blessed. Why? Because it is very tough. If we take it like if we take a pause. If we take a pause and we try to imagine such a state in our mind, if we are able to so if we try to imagine that in our mind, like for one moment we try to if we try to remember or try to visualize such a state in our mind, so if we could just close our eyes and try to visualize it, then that itself gives us immense bliss. So if that would be like, if when we don't possess anything, when we are content with whatever santushto yena kenachit, we are content with whatever we have, a state like how, what would be that real state? Even just thinking about it, visualizing about it, trying to imagine it in our mind, itself gives immense bliss. So how would the state be if we were to experience that state? It will be a very blissful one. So that means bhagyavantaha, blessed indeed is such a person. So if we, this doesn't mean like we have to get rid of all our clothes and then try to become a kaupina dhari. That's not the goal. Kaupinam, like some people are blessed enough to get to that state, some people are not. We have to try to get that detached state internally. Internal detachment. Internally not possessing anything. Tektena bunjitaha. So, Tyagam internally and then rejoicing whatever is there. So, when we do Tyagam in the mind, Tyagam of the names and forms, Tyagam of our attachment to objects, then when we try to look at them, it will be very blissful. So, when we look at a beautiful flower, as Sri Sri Ravi Shankar says, when we see a beautiful flower, we enjoy its beauty. When we listen to some music, we enjoy it. But the moment we try to get into the name and form means get attached to it. So when we get attached or averted to it, oh, this is so-and-so singing, I don't like that person, then the beauty vanishes. So, if we are able to remain unattached, unaffected to objects of the world, then the entire world will be able to give us a blissful experience every moment. So, each and every moment we are experiencing the world, we will experience only anandam. Even as like when we go to sleep and the world temporarily merges, we get bliss out of it. But while experiencing also, we will be able to get. And that is the state of Jagrat Sushupti. So, Sushupti means sleep, Jagrat means awake. So, both together, so in sleep, dual notions are not there, but we don't have any awareness. In waking state we have awareness. So awareness with the knowledge that objects are not real, no attachment to them, that will give us immense bliss, and that bliss cannot be expressed in words. It is something that we have to experience through proper sadhana. So sadhana, we can do any sadhana, japam, dhyanam, etc. But in all those, we have to include Brahman. Brahma satyam jagan mithya. Without advitiya Brahman, without including non-dual Brahman in everything, whatever we do, wherever we are, yat karo shyadashnasi, yat juho shyadadasiyat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Do everything as an offering to me, Ishwararpitam naichaya krutam. Everything is one Ishwara, so whatever I do is Brahma yajnam, Ishwara yajnam. Whatever I do, it's only Brahman. Brahman alone is present in this world. Brahman is an instrument, Brahman is doing it, Brahman is doing to achieve Brahman, everything is Brahman. So when we have this attitude, Brahma Karma Samadhina, when we have this attitude that everything is Brahman and we remember that, then that is a sadhana, that is Nididhyasanam. The sadhana of remembering Brahman itself will give us bliss. So when it becomes very natural, we'll be very blissful. So like Shuka, even though we may experience objects or we may not experience, irrespective of whether we are yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinaha, whether we are doing yogam or whether we are doing bhogam, whether we are attached to objects, whether we are detached to objects, since Brahman resides in our mind is remembering Brahman, we nandati, nandati, nandativa. We will ever rejoice in bliss. Bliss, bliss, bliss will be the experience. There will be nothing that that can affect us. So, antaha merum ivastitam bahiswacham dashalinaha. So, externally we do activities like it should be done. Like a worldly person does activities, we do activities externally. All the while internally remembering Brahman. So since we remember Brahman internally, so internally we are like Meru Parvatam, so strong. Nothing can change us. Oh, our friend dies, our mother dies, we lose money, we lose like one hand, one leg, we can't see properly, we can't hear properly. When we grow old, like what people will start complaining, my ears are not working, eyes are not working. Oh, I am not content. Why are you not content? My eyes are not working, I can't watch TV. So here you like sad, my children are growing and they are not listening to my words. So there is discontentment everywhere throughout our life. So if we remember Brahman, then if my eyes are not working, okay fine, I'll close my eyes. Ears are not working, I'll not listen, that is okay. Mind is not working fine, mind is not working fine means I'm not able to remember who this is. Whether this is A or B, I don't know. Fine, it's still Brahman. What will happen? I'll call A by B. I'll call A as B. It's fine. What will happen? B will hate me. A will run away. ARB running away, it's fine because it's just a time pass. Everything is one Brahman, so where is A, where is B? There's only Brahman. So whatever happens, we will be able to remain blissful. And that bliss is what is the continuous experience of a Kaupina Dhari. So externally, though we may not be able to become a Kaupina Dhari, at least internally, we can try. We can try to get to that state where we are reveling, rejoicing in Vedanta Vakyam. Vedanta goes through our mind every minute. We are not attached. We are not particular about what we want about food, what we want about dress, what we want about money, all those. And we go wherever we have to go, we go. All the while our intellect or our mind doesn't experience any sorrow because we are remembering that this entire world is one Brahman. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to achieve that state, or at least try to strive to get to that state where we are ever rejoicing in bliss, so that our life becomes very blissful and our life becomes fulfilled. We'll continue later. Namaskar.